Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome back. It's Farm Talk one more time here in the North Dakota Corn Council. Well, two more times here in the North Dakota Corn Council studio on a Black Friday, which is kind of gray, or I don't know what color this year Black Friday is. Doug Lear, North Dakota Game and Fish Department Outreach Biologist, reaching out to you on the radio now. Hello, Doug.
Hey, good afternoon, Mick. Good afternoon. Well, I tell you one thing that, you know, for most people is it's not a white Friday.
True.
Right?
It's brownish and gray. And out there, a year ago, we had ditches filled with snow and slush in the ponds and potholes and all that. So this is much better.
It really is. And this is one of those weather 180-degree switches that it's okay to revisit. Because the now is much better than the history. Like, you know, sometimes like when you're in the middle of it, like when you're in the middle of the drought, you don't want to talk about, you just get tired of talking about the drought. But when the water comes back and things are lush and green, it's like, okay, we can remember what it was like during the drought. So this year, as we knock on the door of December, I don't have a problem revisiting last year. Well, you've talked about last year and how wet it was. Well, it was essentially historically like Noah's Ark type wet, snow, cold that we had September, October, November last year, Mick.
It was bad. And now this year is good. And and diesel prices are down. Fertilizer prices are low. Corn is up. Soybeans are higher. Wheat is at 6-year highs. I mean, it's just awesome and incredible.
It's really been interesting to, because you pick up on different things, and you know, I'm not directly active in the ag world, but we've talked about so often in the past how things cross over and overlap from hunting and fishing and field conditions for farmers and field conditions for hunters. And I think one thing that maybe jumped into my ear, I think on Monday, maybe earlier this week, listening to Sheldon Gerhart out in Logan County, or maybe I'm giving Sheldon credit where he doesn't deserve the credit, but you know, I was good to pat Sheldon on the back, and I think he mentioned, maybe he didn't, something about, you know, not having to dry. You know, how much you know, farmers were saving on drying costs compared to last year.
Propane costs money, you know, 10 11 12 cents a bushel, all of that, you know, adds up. And $5,000 here, $5,000 there. Soon we're talking real money, as they say.
Yeah, right. Well, and so on the backside of Thanksgiving, that was one of the things that we kind of, you know, talked about leading up into Thanksgiving and around Thanksgiving is, I mean, no doubt about it. There's plenty of challenges that our world has been facing and is facing, but if you stop and intentionally look at the things to be thankful for, even things as much as you can save on fuel costs from not having to clean out the yard three times a day.
Yeah, before you feed the cows.
Right.
Which aren't making you any money.
Yeah. Right. How much time that you save.
Yeah. Also, all is good. So I guess we'd all have time to go muzzleloader hunting.
Huh? You know, it's kind of interesting the way our falls rolls out, because if you follow our conversations on Friday afternoons, you know, basically from the backside of August through the regular deer gun season in North Dakota that opened up on Friday, November 6th, then closed up on Sunday, November 22nd, you almost had, whether it was a youth season or a waterfowl season, or a pheasant, or a turkey season, opening up almost every single weekend. And you got to the deer gun opener, and that opened up, and you had a pause until today when the black powder or the muzzleloader season opened up in North Dakota. Our muzzleloader, our black powder season, goes from today. It started at 12 noon today, and that'll go through Sunday, December 13th. So, I think that's the last opener that we have, Mick. I mean, somebody might be able to correct me, but that the black powder season might be the last opener that we have, and we can talk about some of the other seasons as well, but we also have...
Because it runs concurrently with many other seasons in North Dakota, yeah.
Right, you know, so our black powder season opened up at 12 noon today, and, you know, we can talk about that, but we also need to remind, like, black powder, you have to have a specific black powder tag. You can't just walk out the door today and say, I'm going to go shoot a deer with a muzzleloader. That is set. Oh, man, it's it gets complicated. It's like 15% of the previous year's mule deer tag. Something there's some kind of formula that's set in state law, but with that, the point being is that it's not like an archery tag where you can just decide, hey, I'm going to put in for an archery tag in North Dakota. And not have to worry about anything. So muzzleloader, if you are one of the fortunate ones that have drawn a muzzleloader tag, that season opened up at 12 noon today, and it goes through Sunday, December 13th, Mick.
And this is not like rifles from the 1700s. This is not the old flintlock. A lot of these muzzleloaders are pretty high-tech pieces.
Yeah, things have changed a lot, and it almost kind of parallels a little bit, Mick, a little bit to archery hunting, where you've had technology change a lot. Like archery hunters, you can still use the recurve bow. Mm-hmm. And you can go out there and make it as challenging as you want. You can use some of the latest technology that is allowed for archery hunting. In black powder, if you want to go back to George Washington's musket, you can, but technology has advanced. Now, I don't put this out there as an official Game and Fish stance. I just put this out there more like for the discussion point of view. Mm-hmm. And part of that is I can understand whether it's traditional bow hunters, traditional black powder hunters will go, well, I mean, come on. You know, it's definitely not nearly as challenging as it was 20 years ago, 150 years ago, to shoot something with a musket as you can use today to be Daniel Boone or Davy Crockett with your bow and arrow. But there's also the discussion of by watching technology advance, what you can is you can generate more interest from people. We've seen the number of archery tags, you know, strongly climb. Over 20,000 people will buy an archery deer tag in North Dakota. Now, if we just say hypothetically, what if we put into some restrictions that was basically like a recurve? Mm-hmm. Now, would you have, I would venture to say you wouldn't have 20,000 people that would be out there with the recurve.
Right.
So maybe with the allowance of modern technology to a point, you generate more interest. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you one thing that can't be denied is when you generate interest in any kind of activity, and you can carry that over, whether it's, you know, Farmers Union, Farm Bureau, Stockman's Association, when you generate interest and passion, then you can have support. When you generate interest and passion for archery hunting, rather than have a North Dakota Bow Hunters Association that just has a few thousand recurve bow hunters, well, now you've got thousands, literally thousands of bow hunters that are in the association, and that level of interest and that level of passion can help advance your cause. So there's always... You know, there's always what you see on the surface and go, well, gosh, this ain't black powder hunting, like the way it was supposed to be. Mm-hmm. I'm not telling you that it is.
Yeah.
But I will also say that we see even more interest in black powder hunting because the technology has made it more accessible.
And user-friendly.
And user-friendly. So what you can also say on that is you can increase participation levels by doing that, and I think in a day and age when you hear more concern over a loss of hunters, you know, more concern nationwide over a loss of hunters, when we can generate more hunter interest in bow hunting, more hunter interest in muzzleloader hunting, and realize that yeah, there might be some that are just bow hunters, there might be some that are just black powder hunters, but a lot of times those people are also going to be pheasant hunters. They might be duck and goose hunters. So overall, you can help maybe draw in or retain some of the hunters by giving them other activities, Mick.
All right. Good reason to get involved, but is it too late to apply for a muzzleloader? Is this what was the window for that?
Yep. See, and that's one of the other things is our muzzleloader, our black powder license framework falls in the same line with our regular deer season. So okay. Let this be a reminder to you. If you missed the muzzleloader season of 2020, if you didn't get a muzzleloader tag because you did not put in, next year, the deadline will be the first Wednesday in June. The application period will probably open up sometime the backside of April. And you have already, on Black Friday and November 27th, 2020, we've already tried to give you a little bit of a reminder for the 2021 application deadline, Mick.
Gotcha. However, you can still go get an archery tag.
Yes. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's, you know, that's one thing. We'll talk a little bit more about a lot of the pheasant hunting, the duck hunting, and the goose hunting. There's still ducks and geese that are around with the
There's some circle in the neighborhood night before last.
Yeah, yeah. So there's still plenty of opportunities to do that. And for archery hunting, if you're home for the holidays, home for Thanksgiving, or gonna be coming back for Christmas, you can buy an archery tag on the Game and Fish Department website, and you'll be able to use that whether you live in Fargo or Lisbon or Hillsboro. You won't have to be designated by a unit, and that season goes through January 3rd. And the way this winter hasn't happened, you might have some great field conditions to get out there and put some venison in the freezer, Mick.
And one could actually enjoy themselves.
Yeah,
out there.
Yeah, without putting up with 13 below zero and in drifts of snow out there. Yeah. So a great reminder, Mick.
And I saw on social media Tuesday this week that somebody said, I've been taking care of deer, dispatching deer with a gun all my life, but nothing beats this bow hunting.
And there's a lot of people that have been learning that. We've seen that from the growth in archery tags, Mick, no doubt about it.
All righty, we're going to take a break. Come back with more after this here in the North Dakota Corn Council studio. Doug Lear, Friday on Farm Talk.